Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of this. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And please pray with me. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our unending love and our peaceful home. Amen. Well, several weeks back, within these very pews, actually, I heard a sermon that reshaped the way that I personally approached this Christmas season. Perhaps you remember it. It was Vicar Cornelius's sermon about the classic Christmas movie, The Grinch. It was so rich and thought-provoking a sermon, it had me analyzing all of my favorite Christmas movies this year as I watched them and examining their theological implications. So, Vicar, thank you. And if you ever wonder whether your sermons have any impact on people beyond this sanctuary, this is proof they do. So in keeping with this theme and this season of Christmas, one of my all-time favorite films to watch is Home Alone, the beloved story of a young boy who gets left behind by his family as they travel to celebrate Christmas with relatives in France, and he has to end up defending his family home from would-be thieves in various imaginative and increasingly slapstick ways. It's a beloved film for a reason. There are no shortages of memorable lines, visual gags, and stellar performances from the cast. But if I'm being honest, part of my love for the film comes from the fact that it was one of maybe 7 VHS tapes, if you remember what those are, that lived in the nursery of the church my dad worked in when I was a child. And since I didn't go to daycare in the summertime when I was on summer break, I spent many a summer afternoon watching Home Alone, dreaming of Christmas. So why bring this movie up? Well, I couldn't help but find some similarities between Home Alone and our reading from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel today. Now, I'm not saying that the writers, directors, and producers of Home Alone found their inspiration for the film in Luke's second chapter, but I'm not saying that as well. Because it seems like Jesus himself also has a Home Alone moment when he's 12 years old. As they did every year, the Holy Family traveled to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, and when it had finished, they joined an entourage of friends and relatives all heading back to their home in Nazareth. But Jesus stays behind in Jerusalem. And I'm sure it didn't happen this way, but I love to imagine that, you know, the scene in Home Alone when the mom is on the plane and bolts upright and shouts, "Kevin!" I like to think that Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, also bolted up in the caravan, "Jesus!" realizing he was no longer with them. But unfortunately, that's where the similarities between the two stories end, because Jesus was not defending his home nor his temple from two aspirational yet incompetent wet bandits. Rather, Joseph and Mary did eventually find him in the temple, sitting with the rabbis and teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And we're told that everyone listening to him was astounded by what he was saying. Now, that's an important detail of the story, actually. I want to focus in a little bit on why Jesus asking questions matters. When I was in my undergraduate studies, I was fortunate to take a class on the Jewish religion taught by Dr. Murray Haar at Augustana College in Sioux Falls. Dr. Haar remains a renowned and respected voice in the world of theology and has a fascinating story of faith. He was born and raised Jewish, and then converted to Lutheran Christianity, and then converted back to Judaism, which is not an easy process to go through. But one of the things that he taught within that class that has always stuck with me is the importance of questions, critique, and healthy doubt within any religion and system of belief, but especially within Judaism. In the rabbinic tradition, it is the act of questioning where faith is found. And Dr. Haar would often tell us in the class that belief is not made into faith when one has the right answers. Instead, belief becomes faith when one starts to ask the right questions. And this is evidenced by the traditional method of studying Torah. When rabbis study scripture, it is most often done in pairs, so that both individuals have someone to engage with in a necessary exchange of questions and ideas in order to draw the truth out of the words of the text. And so we have this image of a 12-year-old Jesus sitting with the rabbis in the temple asking questions. But this is not just any temple, this is the temple in Jerusalem, the dwelling place of the most holy of holies, the one physical location on earth where it was believed that God made contact with this physical world to keep it from descending into order and chaos. And it is here that a 12-year-old Jesus is asking questions to those who were well-read and well-studied, such that they were astonished. In other words, Jesus was speaking and teaching truths that were so astounding that people were amazed not simply by the depth of his knowledge, but also the depth of his faith. Now we hear this story of the boy Jesus in the midst of the Christmas season. Yes, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day have come and gone, but it is 12 days long, right? And we are still in the thick of Christmas. And I find it remarkably fitting that this is the image of Jesus that we receive in this season. It is not the image of an all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty Savior who has all the right answers if we would just bow down and listen, but a 12-year-old Jesus sitting among teachers and faithful alike, showing the truth of God through his understanding and through his questions. Over this particular holiday season, my mind has been overflowing with questions. And perhaps it's a bit more truthful, a bit more honest to call them anxieties. As I continue to observe the world we live in, the direction we are collectively headed, I cannot help but question. Here in this country, the incoming administration of our federal government continues to telegraph alarming policies and beliefs about humanity. Tech advancements, especially artificial intelligence, continue to race past their own boundaries, seemingly beyond the point of usefulness, as their disastrous effects upon the environment only increase and worsen. Homelessness grew by 18% this last year alone. A majority of Americans cannot afford a surprise trip to the hospital. The gap between the wealthiest oligarchs and the common laborer continue to grow even further. Misinformation has poisoned our ability to challenge ideas and communicate in a healthy and respectful way. Empathy seems like it's a resource that has run dry. And I'm not even getting into the ongoing human rights crises in Gaza, the Congo, Sudan, and beyond. Yes, this Christmas season, my mind has been plagued by questions like, how can there be so much suffering in this world? Why are so many people so unwilling and so scared to imagine a world where all of us have enough? If we all live upon the same planet, why don't more people seem to care about our already rapidly changing climate? Why are so many so terrified at the idea of other people living a healthy and comfortable life? And yet, in the midst of these questions, I find myself returning to this undeniable truth. Love is an infinitely renewable resource. Love is an infinitely renewable resource. Even as we continue to watch crises unfold, my friends, we will not run out of love. Even as the stability of our own society may come called into question, we will not run out of love. Even as wars ravage communities, as hurricanes and other natural disasters devastate homes, as our trans siblings are demonized, as immigrants are painted as enemies, as workers are exploited to create more wealth for the rich, we will not run out of love. And I can think of no more appropriate Christmas message this year. We are not alone, and love never runs out. No matter what comes to pass, it is my prayer that we as a community, as members of a shared faith, never give up on the power of love, which does bind everything together in perfect harmony. May we always remember what the love of God looks like, not some all-powerful, all-divine conqueror scattering enemies away on the field of battle, but a child born to common people who sat among them, taught them through questions, and eventually gave the gift of God's unending love to all people. May we all be so emboldened in this season to love as we first were loved, because it never has and never will run out. My beloved siblings in Christ, as we continue to move through this season of celebration and reflection upon the miracle of God stepping into human life, may we always remember that it is the unending peace and love of God that sustains us. It is the peace and love of God that we return home to time and time again. And we are never home alone. Through this peace, and especially through the boundary-breaking, never-ending, radically expansive love of God, may we rest assured that it will never, ever run out, in this life or the next. Thanks be to God. Amen.